Hey everyone, welcome to Five More Minutes, the show where two friends relive their childhoods, or in some cases, learn about things they missed out on. Me llamo Kendra.
Me llamo Scott.
Si.
Si. Si, señores.
Si. Es la verdad.
Si, señoritas.
Oh. Dios mío. Okay, my Spanish is rusty because I haven't practiced it, but I do have a minor, so whatever.
Yeah.
Can't roll my R's, but... You know, it's fine.
Neither can I.
Okay. I don't think I read this one. So what are two chiropractors called that have each other's backs?
I don't know.
Vertebros.
Wow.
Yeah. What do you get when you cross an elephant and a rhino?
Oh, that's easy. I've heard hell if I know.
Yeah. Well, you got to do L if I know.
Yeah, well, you get it.
The very last message I got just says an Irish man walks out of a bar. 850 items live.
Get it? Because it's a joke. They never leave.
Yeah. I know, but that one's like weird in the context. I mean, I guess they're all weird in the context of an auction, but that one seemed especially weird, I guess.
Yeah, I wonder who they're just like, hey, you know what would be good to send a reminder out? We'll just send a joke out. They're like, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I have some school things to talk about.
Oh, lay it on me, Slick.
Okay, so the first one is funny, and I kind of feel bad about it. So I have this little dodgeball, right? And it's the discussion dodgeball. And I use it in, especially my 10th grade classes, to get people to share. Because a lot of that, like, literally people who wouldn't share otherwise, like, just want to catch and throw the ball, right? I think I've mentioned it before. So this one kid, he's always really excited. Like, I quoted Friday Night Lights. I was like, clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. And he was like, that's right, miss. And he like fist bumped me. Like, he's like, you know, he's like pretty chill. I mean, he's not as annoying as most of my students, right? So today I had the desks arranged kind of weird because I had them talk in three small groups. I probably should have done like five or something because it's a little bit too loud because they couldn't hear each other. But then at the end, I was like asking for people to share like answers for most of the main discussion questions. And so I threw it to him. And it was a little bit of like a weird angle and there was no one in the way. So I didn't have to try to throw it high. Right. And he has like a 80 ounce, like water bottle, like a big one.
Yeah.
And I hit the top of it. So I was throwing like chest height. So not really low. Like it wasn't like a low throw. It was like a mid, like, you know, it would have been like right here. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But it grazes the top of his water bottle. Do you think the cap is screwed down?
Must not be. Sounds like.
Do you think the entire water bottle fell over?
It was it full?
I think it was like half full. And okay, in his attempt to avoid water splashing all over him, he like jumped out of his seat, fell over, had like a laughing attack, and his entire like crotch area was just like covered in water. Wow. So was the seat of the chair, his papers. Luckily, not the book that belongs to the library. And luckily, his computer was in his backpack. But there was also a large spot of water on the floor. Everyone kind of just like laughed because none of us knew what to do. And they're sophomores. So people kept trying to like take pictures of him to post on, you know, the internet and stuff. But yeah. So I was like, you know what? I'll bring you like an energy drink or something tomorrow. And he was like, all right, miss. And I was like, okay.
Okay.
And it was like the second to last class and like he had a sweater. So I was like, you know, just like you just got to like wrap the sweater. You know, you're fine. No one's going to notice. I think it was like mostly dry by the time he left anyway. Cause it'd been like 40 minutes by then. But
yeah.
Yeah. So one of my students was like, so miss, what did we learn about using the ball? And I was like, that is still fun, but accidents happen. She like hates it. She like she'll like want to answer, but then she'll make someone next to her catch the ball. Like she just doesn't want to catch the ball. Because every time she throws it, she accidentally hits someone. Like, she won't quite, like, arch it high enough. And then, like, yeah. But it's okay. I mean, it's a softball, so it's not like.
Yeah, it's not going to kill anyone.
Yeah. And then, man, my students. One of my students literally asked me if I could give her an assignment that had been turned in so she could copy it. After I went through this, like, whole spiel about how if they copied in my class, I was going to give them zeros. Because other teachers know. Like other teachers don't care. And I was like, you know, these are like questions. They have right or wrong answers, but like your answer shouldn't be like word for word for like an entire 3-page assignment. And like any long paragraph should be different. I think I mentioned this already, or at least told you, because I had them redo at least a long paragraph and then was like, if this keeps happening, I'm just going to give you zeros.
Yeah.
So everyone in that group I returned it to rewrote the long paragraph, and this person erased the entire document and then rewrote the exact same thing.
Okay.
Like, she didn't change any of her answers. And the reason why I can know that is because I only asked them to change their summaries. So, like, I could still tell that all the answers were the same. Mm-hmm. And the person who they copied from, she wrote it in pen, so she couldn't erase her original summary. She rewrote it on a separate piece of paper and stapled it. So, like, I still had the, like, original one. And I was like, yeah, so this is, like, a zero. Like, what? And then she wanted me to, like, put her assignment in the turn-in box for her. And I was like, no.
No, thanks.
Like, man, I think... Whoa. What happened?
Are you good?
This monitor, it just like went black.
Oh, well, nothing happened on my end.
Okay. I think my cord is just like a little bent. So I think this is at a different angle. I think I need to do some sort of, like, someone needs to give them like a lesson on why learning is important. Just like the process of learning, because I don't think they understand that, like, it's not really always the content. It's like the process.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, you can make English like relatable to anything, but like, I don't know. It's very frustrating.
Sounds like it.
So that's where I'm at right now.
Copy it and throw it down, basically.
Yeah. And I mean, you could not read the book. That's fine. You still need to like look the stuff up. Like learning how to use the internet to read chapter summaries is still better than like not reading the book at all, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that makes no sense.
And this book isn't even bad. It's literally about the Spokane Indian Reservation. So it's like local. Life is still like that there. And it's like people they may encounter. So it's not like irrelevant, you know? And it's not like a book written in the 1940s.
That's some old timey thing.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So it's pretty exciting. Sounds
like fun. Yeah. So kicking it.
How's your car?
It's pretty sweet. I cannot park in the driveway. It's too low. So I sent out a request for a quote to see what it would take to redo my driveway.
Can you get some of those little thingies?
Little thingies.
Don't they make little things for curbs that you can like drive up?
There's no curb and I can't get up.
Yeah, but
like it's the slope of the gravel up to the slab.
I just feel like I've seen... Because, like, most of the sidewalks in Richland are kind of curved so that you can park on them. And I feel like I've seen some houses that have these little things that are made to, like, drive up.
Yeah, and that's probably true. But, one, you're not supposed to put things there because it interferes with stormwater flow, engineering side of things. So cities don't like that because then you'll start to dam things up. And then, two, as just like, well, if I get a quote, I can just like have them cut the rest of the curb out where Cheyenne parks too and just have one big driveway entrance.
That's true.
So that's in the works. But until then, I guess I'm parking on the street unless I really want to like you said, fill in the hole and make it more gradual. But there's only so much I'm going to be able to do.
I'm really frustrated about my paint.
The paint saga continues. I really think
that this time, I think it is because the paint got like moist overnight the night I painted it. Because that was the only difference.
Yeah. Like
it was damp the next morning. And if it didn't like fully cure, then that would explain how come, even though I'm only using like why I can't get 2000 grit scratches out because it's scratching deeper than it should be.
Yeah.
And I mean, the Duplicolor paint's not bad. Like my truck's kind of faded. So it's not like I almost think that like the good paint is too dark, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just annoying. Like it's gonna be so annoying to take those off because there's like bolts by the doors, bolts in the wheel well, bolts inside the hood.
Yeah.
And I don't know how it's gonna work with my antenna.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I might just take them off and then like leave them off until the next weekend or something so that they're inside. I don't know.
Like controlled environment to try to cure in a little bit.
Yeah, and I have that little like heater that I can like plug in down there too if I need to like make it a little bit warmer, but at least they wouldn't be getting like damp. And it honestly might be easier to like sand it if it's flat too and not upright.
Yeah, the weird angles of sanding never works out very well.
Yeah,
but I am glad that I got the new color because it is pretty cool. It's like in the shade it's just like black and then you get sun on it and it's like gray. It's pretty crazy. And I didn't know, all of the black on the body kit, in the sunlight, it has like little sparkles and paint flecks in it. So it's like,
so kind of like a pearl type of thing.
Yeah. So it's like shiny and cool looking. So they actually did a lot of pretty nice details on it. So I'm going to be pretty happy with it. I mean, I think the WRX was still faster.
Yeah.
But this car, it sounds, you put it in sport, it has a nice little growl to it.
Ooh, they finally put the Corolla on here.
Oh,
there's this part of me that still is like, maybe you just keep the truck and get the car, you know? Like, I'm really just like all over the place with like, especially since I'm like making more money now, it would be easier to afford to do that.
So I will again point you back to your last time you said,
I know.
I absolutely know what I'm going to do. Well, now. I was like,
wanna,
yeah, you do.
I know. Well, I mostly just want to wait to see if they even are going to like announce a 4Runner or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if they don't, then maybe I'll get the car instead.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. They're just so pretty, you know? And like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm like doing all this work to my truck now. Like, I might as well keep it.
Enjoy the work that you put in, actually. Kind of sucks to do all that work and then turn around and sell it.
Well, that's the reason why I'm trying to make the paint look so good, because there's nothing wrong with the paint.
Right.
Like, all I wanted to do was fix the little spot like this so that it wouldn't look weird, since I repainted the front and then I ran out of paint.
Yeah.
Oh, they have Blue Crush Metallic in the new one. I like Blue Crush Metallic.
Dude, a bird took a giant shit on my car, though, today. Like, a big one just right in the center of the roof. I was like, are you serious? So, that's always fun, too. But yeah, one mile on the odometer. I drove it.
That's even less than mine had six. That's even less than mine had on it.
Yeah. So I guess they literally just took it off the truck and they put it in the bay.
Yeah. I think they might've like filled it up with gas or something maybe.
Yeah.
Since I was like coming from out of town or something.
Could have been.
I don't know. Or maybe their like car lot was just bigger.
Yeah. And I mean, maybe they. Because I was also kind of curious, I was like, only 1 mile, don't you want to like drive it just a little bit to make sure it doesn't like blow up after
you
put it together?
Well, do they get like driven at the factory, but then not the odometer might not get turned on right away?
I don't know. That's possible, I guess.
Yeah.
Test it all out. Because the first time when I did test drive it, I was like, I stopped at a gas station. I was like concerned the exhaust was like smoking and it was smelling like burnt plastic. And I brought it back. He's like, oh yeah, like fluids haven't been through it yet, like things haven't really moved around, so that's totally normal.
You got
like,
that okay. Break-in period or whatever.
Yeah, so I'm gonna enjoy it. It's gonna be nice. Yeah, pretty
heck yeah,
sweet. Pretty sweet. More payment was higher than I thought still, so but that's
as okay. Long as it's not $528, you should be fine.
No, but he did, because you have to put $1,000 down when I ordered it. It goes towards the price, but whatever.
That's good, because at some places they don't. Like at some dealerships, your deposit doesn't. Like my deposit did for mine, but like I've seen a lot of people post about that.
Yeah, but so when I was like talking with him when I was picking it up and actually financing it, he like walked out and he's like, "Oh, here would be your payment if you didn't put any money down." I was like, "People do this? People don't put any money down? You want to take a guess at what the payment would be?
How much was it?"
It was 35 before all the taxes.
Well, I didn't put very much down on mine, so probably like 650 or something. More than that?
If you would have gone with, I think they gave me three options. It was a 48 month, the 60 and the 72.
Mm-hmm.
The 48 month was like $1,300.
Jesus. Well, how? Because like my truck, I did the 60 month and I only put $3,000 down on it, and it was like $37,000 before all the extra stuff.
Well, I mean, the number I was paying for at the end was like 41.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's probably close to what mine was.
And but if you did the 72 month, it was still $740. Well, I was like, who would do this to themselves?
I think I also had like a 2% interest rate on mine.
Yeah, mine is a little higher. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, but mine was like during I think a sale event or something. Mm-hmm. And my credit score, I mean your credit score is like as high as mine was when I got mine, so
yeah. So but anyway, it'll work out. It's pretty sweet. I'm excited to drive it to Portland, so
heck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to replace my suspension, but I'm probably gonna need tires. So should probably do that first.
That is kind of
and
important.
You have to really be like patient. I mean, I've had them on for like 3 years, but I don't think I got them. I definitely didn't get them rotated as often as I should have.
Yeah.
But if you like search marketplace regularly enough, you can sometimes find people selling brand new takeoffs for like $500. And I just want to try to like snag some of those.
Yeah.
Because the off-road wheels from the third gens look like so good, especially on the black. I mean, yeah. My truck has like black and chrome, so it just like matches really well, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, okay. I'm sure yeah, this is exciting. Last week, we literally talked for like 19 minutes. So I put like a thing that was like, if you don't want to listen to this, skip to minute like 1850.
go to content.
Because because we were sharing all the hot goss last week. So
oh, yeah. Hot goss.
Yeah.
We don't have as much hot goss.
I literally put hot goss in the title of the episode.
I saw that. So I guess we could just jump in. I'm just following up my last episode. I'm going God of War 2. Got the God of War hoodie on today. So it's only fitting.
Heck yeah, bitch.
Yep. So naturally, the next one we're looking at is God of War 2. And a lot of it stayed the same. I mean, it's another quote-unquote hack and slash adventure. Sequel to the original God of War.
Finished it already.
Yeah, look at that. We're not even like... through this at all.
I'm sad.
Yeah. It was also on the PlayStation 2, and it released in North America on March 13th, 2007. So 2 years after the original.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
March when?
13th.
Oh, that was almost on your birthday.
Look at that. Could have been. Apparently, there was two discs in it. The first was the game, obviously, and the second was game development disc. Did not know that.
What's that?
It just like gave you details and like behind the scenes and, you know, all that stuff that they usually put in like DVD extras.
Sorry, I'm just upset that I can't build and price a model yet. Like, why did you put it on here if I can't build and price a model?
They're working on it, I guess. Jeez. Seems like they're pretty slow.
Yeah, I'm surprised they waited this long to put it up because I've seen people post on Reddit that they ordered one or ordered one, you know.
Yeah. Okay, so this game also focused on combo based combat. This time you have Athena's blades instead of the blades of chaos, but they're essentially the same exact thing. And you get other weapons throughout the game as well. Still has those good old QTE quick time events for stronger enemies and bosses. You get magical attacks later on. There are more puzzle and platforming elements in the game. Compared to its predecessor, number two does have improved puzzles and apparently four times as many bosses.
Oh, so that's a lot of bosses.
Yeah, it's a longer game for sure. God of War 2 has been acclaimed as one of the best video games of all time and one of the best video game sequels ever made.
Oh.
Yep. It was 2007's PlayStation Game of the Year at the Golden Joystick Awards, which sounds like it could double as like an adult entertainment award. In 2009,
that sounds kind of sexual, even though I know it's not.
Well, that was my joke.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. In 2009, IGN listed it as the second best PlayStation 2 game of all time. And both IGN and GameSpot consider it the swan song of the PlayStation 2 era.
How fancy.
I know.
Wow. Apparently, I was missing out by playing ATV Off-Road Fury and All-Star Baseball 2005.
I know. Yeah, I guess you were. I don't think they would probably be on the best-selling PlayStation 2 game list of all time.
I think All-Star Baseball is supposed to be one of the best baseball games.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I guess that's true. The sports games are pretty popular. They're just not really for me.
Like that one, I think, was one of the, like, most acclaimed baseball ones. Anyways, you could create your own characters. So I was really obsessed with building characters in that game, like Mickey Mantle, and like literally making them be like those like old school baseball players.
Right.
And it had that one song, that really annoying one, play.
Okay.
I'll think of it.
Okay.
Okay. It was like, it's a song with like no words, but it played like in the menu.
Oh,
yeah.
where was I? So God of War 2 was the 16th best selling PlayStation 2 game of all time. And I believe the first one, wasn't it? It was around there. It was like 15 or 14. Well, so they're both very, very high selling. And that's probably good enough for some of that information. Some other small differences for this game were you got some other items, like you were able to get Icarus's wings, which allow you to... snap.
Can you fly into the sun?
You cannot fly into the sun because you actually kill Icarus, I believe, to get these.
So you stop him from flying into the sun.
Yeah. So I guess he would have died either way, but this way you get to do it instead of the sun. So he steals Icarus's wings, which means you're able to jump and glide over gaps.
Sorry. I needed to know. It does have words. It's that, hey now, hear what I say now. Happiness is just around, whatever. You know, it's like,
That's weird.
Yeah, that was like, that was like the menu song.
Strange.
Anyway, sorry, I just needed to solve that puzzle. You know how I am, so.
Yeah, one track mind.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can jump and glide over small gaps is really all you need to know now. You could only jump in the first one, you can glide now.
Snap.
Yeah. And you get the item, the golden fleece, like from Jason and the Argonauts. Is it like a jacket?
That sounds like something that you would wear to, like, if you won like the best hiker competition or something, or like you scaled Mount Everest.
The golden fleece.
Yeah. Wait, what'd you say it was?
Well, it's based on like the fable Jason and the Argonauts. They're going for the golden fleece. But it allows you to.
That's a movie.
It is. I've seen
rated G.
It's pretty old now, right? I remember watching
1963. It looks very old.
But it allows you to repel projectiles. So that's like really all you need.
Projectile vomit.
I guess if they were going to do that to you, you could repel it. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And I found a much more in-depth summary of plot, so I'm just gonna jump right into that for this
all one. Right, man, get stuck all in right, that bro. Quicksand.
Yeah. So God of War 2 takes place shortly after the events of God of War Ghost of Sparta, which is one we haven't talked about, but it was for the PlayStation Portable. But we are over 13 years after the events of the original God of War. So Kratos has been the God of War for the past 13 or so years, just causing chaos and, you know, doing what God of Wars do.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I would do if I was a God of War.
Mm-hmm. The narrator of the game, who is also Gaia, says the following quote: by defeating Ares, Kratos, the once mortal warrior, became the new God of War. However, Kratos soon found himself alone on Olympus, shunned by his fellow gods. So that is kind of where we're coming into this one.
Where did Kendra, my screen go again?
Oh, you lost audio that time too, I think.
Why? But, why do all these things I keep buying? Why are they so glitchy? Jesus Christ.
Because they only want you to buy Apple shit.
I guess, but I thought this one would be less glitchy since it plugs into both ports instead of this one that just like dangles.
Right.
I mean, I probably should get an Apple one at some point.
The dangle.
Anyway, sorry, I have a question about the Icarus wings. So you kill Icarus.
Yeah.
Do you like really graphically like rip his wings from his back?
Yes.
Like it's like a cutscene?
Yep.
Can we watch it? Is there a video?
Probably. I mean, it might not be a true cutscene, but it's definitely like an in-game thing that happens.
God of War 2, rip Icarus. I don't remember a lot of like mythology stuff, but didn't we read this in like senior year or something? The Icarus
Did
I just read that in like my mythology?
You might have just read it. I don't think we did it for school.
Maybe I read it in my mythology
class. So I did find a video. Did you find one?
What's it called?
God of War 2, Kratos versus Icarus and how Kratos got winged.
Yeah, I did find that.
So it looks like you could probably just jump to like minute 2.
Jesus, that's loud.
Yeah.
Minute what? 2?
Yeah, if you just go straight to 2, it's going to show the whole fight. But 2 is about where you end it here. So you're beating the crap out of him.
The depiction of Icarus kind of reminds me of that creepy angel vampire from Midnight Mass.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. So you see, those are the quick time events. You dig.
Mm-hmm.
You're fighting him as you're falling. And then here we go.
Oh, you like rip him off in like midair?
Oh, yeah.
That's so dramatic. Ooh. I feel like his back should look worse than that. Oh, what's that?
That is Atlas, the Titan. Atlas,
Jesus.
He's the one that holds the world on his shoulders.
Oh, yeah. So he's like falling below the world?
He's going away. He's going to like the underworld.
Dang, yep. Son.
Not a good day for him. So, yeah, you got to see how Kratos got Icarus's wings. How fun.
But how did he stick them onto his body? I feel like I was just yelling.
He doesn't. That. He just holds them out and glides with them. So
weird.
Yeah, he doesn't flap them or anything.
I got another joke in the middle of that.
Oh, wow. Bonus joke.
Did you hear they arrested the devil? Got him on possession.
Wow.
Yeah. LOL.
Catholic Church joke. Nice.
Yeah.
Woo. Okay. All right, we're getting on tangents, but at least they're somewhat related to what we're talking about this time.
Yeah. Yeah, devil's possession, stealing wings.
Yeah.
We know what we're talking about.
So, over the last 13 years, Kratos has been making wars on city-states with his Spartan army. So, he has Spartan warriors that he leads and he conquers, because that's what Spartans do. And he is still haunted by the memories of his deeds from the past, you know, the whole killing of his wife and his kid.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of doesn't go away, I guess. He is finding enjoyment the only way that he can, which is to hunt and pillage and raid cities. And he wants to conquer all of Greece, is his goal.
I mean, who doesn't want to do that?
Yep. During this time, Athena pleads that Kratos should stop, telling him that she cannot protect him much longer from the wrath of Olympus if he keeps, you know, making war on all of their other followers and just being a general ass. So
no donkeys allowed.
Yeah. And she warns him that he should not turn his back on her because it was her that made him a god in the first place and saved him. Kratos replies
that's like when you're like, I made you a parent.
Yeah, I made you and I can take you out of this world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kratos replies to this that he owes nothing to her, and he descends down to the battle to assist his Spartan army. So that is where you open up the game.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are in the slides, the first one is how you're introduced to Kratos in this. He's got his like dripped out armor set as the god of war. And he goes down to start fighting.
Heck yeah.
Yep. So he joins the fight as a god. Beep. Nice. He joins the fight as a god and begins destroying the city of Rhodes.
Oh, snap.
Which is not spelled like an actual road, but it's like Rhode Island, but not. Just so you know.
Okay.
After a short while, Kratos notices an eagle, and Kratos thinks that is Athena like spying on him and, you know, being sneaky. The bird robs him of his godly height. So if you remember from the first one, when they're gods, they're like giant towering, you know, over cities and stuff. So this bird steals his size and he returns to his normal human size.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it takes his godly height and puts it into the statue that you see on slide number 2. And that becomes the first boss that you need to fight down there. You're fighting a big old metal statue.
Wait, who's that?
It's just like a statue in the city, you know.
But he
like
looks familiar.
Maybe
he just has one of those Greek statue faces.
Those Greek. It says he's called the Colossus of Rhodes. So I don't.
The Colossus of Rhodes.
Yep.
Like road, like street.
Well, no. Remember, like Rhodes, like Rhode Island. How it's spelled. Yeah.
Colossus of Rhodes, Rhodes, Greece.
There you go.
The Colossus of Rhodes was a statue of the Greek sun god Helios.
There you go, Helios.
Erected, in the city of Rhodes on the Greek island of the same name by Charles of Lindos in 280 BC. He's kind of standing like the Statue of Liberty. one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. It was constructed to celebrate the successful defense of Rhodes City against an attack by Demetrius Polycrates, who had besieged it for a year with a large army and navy. Apparently, it stood approximately 108 feet high, the approximate height of the Statue of Liberty from feet to crown.
Making it
the tallest statue in the ancient world. It collapsed during the earthquake of 226 BC, although parts of it were preserved in accordance with a certain oracle. The Rhodians did not build it again.
So it did look,
that's probably why I look familiar.
Yeah. So this version of history, Kratos destroys it. So,
I mean, Kratos could cause an earthquake. How would we know?
That's true. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So you have this first boss fight with the metal giant, Helios statue. During this time, Zeus contacts Kratos and offers him the Blade of Olympus, which Zeus himself used to win the great war between the gods and the Titans way back. At Zeus's direction, Kratos infuses the blade with his godhood.
Oh, snap. You can do that?
Yeah, you can like transfer his power to the blade.
Oh, that's what that means. I was like, what exactly does it mean to imbue something with your godhood?
Yeah, it makes it powerful.
Okay.
But this makes Kratos mortal again. But he is able to destroy the Colossus with the sword. A little bit of a trade-off.
Okay.
And afterwards, Kratos finds himself mortally wounded because after he destroys the statue, its severed hand falls and crushes him. So he's a hurting unit. You're like walking staggered.
That's a big hand, you know?
It's a big hand. I mean, 108-foot guy, it's got a big hand.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're like staggering around, you're bleeding out, you're feeling awful. And he realizes he must get back to the blade to take his power back out of it. He's like, oh, I'm going to die if I don't get
it. It just seems too easy to put your power in and out of a blade.
Hey, man. Olympus.
I mean,
So he gets up, limps his way to the sword, but Zeus reveals himself as the eagle. He was the sneaky one sneaking around, and he betrayed Kratos so that his fate would not be the same as Ares. So slide three, you can see a depiction of what Zeus looks like in this game. He has the Blade of Olympus.
He looks kind of like Santa.
A little bit like a jacked Santa.
Every time you say something about eagles, I keep getting that Bible verse stuck in my head. The one about soaring on wings like eagles and walking, but not growing weary.
Sure. I think
it's from Psalms. Psalms. Soar on wings. Yeah. I haven't been to church in 10 years, but I still know Bible
you
verses.
Still it's remember actually, that.
Wait. It's Isaiah 40:31. My bad. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
Hmm. All right.
Yeah, and apparently for $29 on Amazon, you can buy that. Looks like someone bought a frame and printed it out on their Cricut and attached it. So maybe Cheyenne should start selling Bible verses.
Yeah, oof, that might be a good idea. You probably make some money like that.
For real.
Huh. Okay. So Zeus was the eagle. He betrayed Kratos. He tricked him into putting his power into the blade to make him mortal again. And then in slide four, Zeus stabs the Blade of Olympus into Kratos' chest, killing him after he refuses to forever serve the gods.
Dang. So, I mean, that's a big ask, honestly.
Especially of Kratos. I mean, come on, there's a history here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, Kratos is killed again. What the heck? As Kratos is being dragged towards an eternity of torment in the underworld, he is saved by Gaia, the mother of the Titans. Also the franchise's narrator, so she is the voice you hear in the background, who offers him an alliance, an accord, if you will. Gaia tells the story of Zeus and how Kronos, Zeus's father, ate all of his children, like we mentioned in the last episode, to prevent the prophecy that one of his own children would rise against him, and how Rhea, Zeus's mother, saved her child and sent him away to an island that was really Gaia. So she sent him away to an island. Gaia took care of Zeus as he was growing up. And she was also Zeus's grandmother. Gaia nurtured Zeus until he grew to be a man. And then he obviously sought revenge against Kronos and
Gaia
all of the Titans.
Gaia is the goddess of the earth.
She is. And I guess on slide 5, you can see what she looks like in the game. That's her approaching Kratos with a deal.
Oh.
She's a giant. Yeah, I mean, she's earthly.
She's got some big boobs.
She does. Big wood, dirt, grass boobs.
Mm-hmm. I bet Groot would get turned on by that.
Ooh, yeah. Keep him away.
Not baby Groot, though, because that's gross.
Right, yeah, that's... No one would think that. Mm-mm. So back then, the great war between the gods and the Titans was caused by this. Zeus trying to get revenge. And Zeus then created the powerful weapon called the Blade of Olympus to end the great war. And with the blade, he banished the Titans to the depth of Tartarus.
To where?
Tartarus.
Sounds like a place of tartar sauce.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Didn't we look this up last time and it was like the cursed city or something like that?
Oh, maybe. I feel like I would remember that word, but a lot of things have happened in the last 2 weeks. So.
Deepest region of the world, the lower of the two parts of the underworld. Okay. So
is that like where they were trying to go and journey to the center of the earth?
I don't know if they had that same quite thing in mind, but
oh, okay.
You know, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
So she fills Kratos in on all of this. When the Titans were defeated by the gods, they were punished and humiliated. And now they want Kratos to help them get revenge. So they're like, team up with us, Titans, and we're going to fight the gods. Because you hate the gods, too. We all hate the gods. Let's fight them. Kratos still has a little bit of power remaining after being saved by Gaia. He is able to escape the underworld. And Gaia tells him that he needs to go find the Sisters of Fate in order to change his past. Go back to when Zeus betrayed him. And flip it on its head, basically. She gives Kratos the magical horse Pegasus. So Pegasus is it. Yeah.
We love Pegasus. He's such a funny guy.
Yeah. And you're able to ride it and traverse the distance to get to the sisters. So you might kind of be familiar with the Sisters of Fates. They have like the... they have the thread for all the mortal beings and, you know, they spin the tapestry of time and blah, 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 blah.
Oh, that sounds
they control
pretty familiar.
Fate, you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because there's things in D&D about fates.
Yeah. So you go to the Island of Creation. You're attacked by all sorts of enemies along the way. You're attacked by griffins and ravens and a dark rider. You're even confronted by the barbarian king that you once killed when Kratos first took Ares' deal. He meets him again as kind of, you know, an afterlife type thing. And he's like zombified and you fight him again. So mm-hmm. You get to fight him again, too. Fun times. You get the Spear of Destiny. And then you make it to the Island of Creation, finally. And you explore the island. You find a bunch of people here. Theseus, I didn't look him up, but you get a key from him for the Steeds of Time, which apparently was a gift to the Sisters of Fate from Kronos in an attempt to change his own fate. But that did not work out. But it's kind of cool because you get there and it's like giant horse statues and a giant chariot, basically. And you have to like solve the puzzle and, you know, make them pull the chains to get to where you want to go. So a good mm-hmm. puzzle.
Heck yeah, man.
You run into Perseus, who you also savagely kill and fight to take his reflective shield. And you can use that for more puzzles. And Perseus, I believe he was the one that fought against Medusa because he had the reflective shield and made her look at herself to turn herself to stone.
Mm-hmm.
So you're running into all these Greek characters that are famous. You're killing many of them, but you know how it is.
Heck yeah, man. We love death.
We already talked about the Barbarian King, who Kratos originally decapitated in the first God of War. So you beat him and you take his hammer. So you're just collecting weapons all over. You encounter a haggard and crazed Icarus, which we already talked about, and you take his wings. You run into the Gorgon Queen, Uriel, and you take her head by decapitation, and you can also use that to turn folks to stone.
But you can use her head even though it's decapitated?
Yeah, because I think, wasn't that the thing too, is if you had a Medusa's head, you could still use the eyes to turn
into
stone.
I just don't understand how it works, really. Don't your eyes lose something when you die? I mean, yeah, I know.
You're trying to read too much into this.
Whatever, man.
So next slide, number 6. We mentioned the Sisters of Fate. This is how they are depicted in this world. What are their names?
Whoa. Why does that one have so many boobs?
Yeah, that one's a rough one. And she's also like huge.
The middle one has kind of 3 boobs, but at least the middle one is more, I don't know,
more normal. Yeah. So the sisters, apparently from left to right, are named Lachesis, mm-hmm. Atropos, mm-hmm. and Clotho.
Clotho?
Yeah. Which is just spelled cloth with an O. So
okay.
Say that how you will.
All right.
As you make your journey, Kratos lands upon the Titan Atlas below the Earth, like we saw in our cutscene. And he is slide 7. You can see how he was depicted. You already kind of did. So you're trying to approach Atlas now that you're down here and say, hey, you know, we're trying to take the Titans against the gods now. I'm your ally, blah, blah, blah. And there are some things in a different game, God of War Chains of Olympus, which is a prequel. You have some interactions with Atlas back in that game. So when you meet him in this one, he's mad at you already from the events of that previous game. Mm-hmm. But eventually you're able to persuade Atlas to help so that he can change his fate and then ultimately kill Zeus. When the Titan accepts the offer, he grants Kratos a new power called the Atlas Quake. And he can literally make earthquakes now, like you said. Holy cow. He was the one that did it. Where am I? Oh, I lost my spot. Hardcore. Okay. So you get this new power. You climb back up to the surface after being down with Atlas. You do have to fight a boss, the Kraken. So you beat the mythical Kraken.
Snap. And
you reawaken the Phoenix to fly to the Temple of Fates.
The Kraken.
The Kraken, yes. So you get to the throne room where Kratos is able to declare, you know, I want to change my fate and the fate of Zeus, the king of the gods. But the sisters deny him passage. You then have a fight with the first sister, Lachesis, and slide 8 shows you how she actually looks in the game interacting with you. So you have to fight and essentially kill the Fates as well. They're one of the main bosses.
Oh, you have to kill the sketchy boob lady? Oh, no.
Yeah, it's a wild fight, I'll tell you. So, yeah, you do battle with Lachesis. Eventually, Atropos joins in the fight, which is slide 9. You can see how she looks. She's kind of more of like a serpent and has the long claws, but only 2 boobs, luckily.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So they are actually messing with Kratos pretty hard. Oh, you went to the next one, didn't you? The first 2 sisters in the fight are like messing with Kratos pretty hardcore. They're like bringing him back and forth through time. And they actually bring him back to the events of the first God of War when you're fighting Ares. You might not recall, but in that fight, you actually, you know, you open Pandora's box, you become the giant god to fight him. And then you're able to take a sword from a statue and use it to kill Ares.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of cool because the whole time you, the Kratos in God of War 2, are fighting the 2 sisters, you're fighting on the blade that you use to kill Ares in the first game. And in the background, you can see like Ares and stuff from the first game happening. So they kind of like nested it like that for the whole time travel thing. That was pretty cool. Ultimately, you are able to prevent the sisters from screwing with your past by beating them. And you're able to keep things how they were originally were. So you still kill Ares. You still are where you are today. You know, all that time travel nonsense. Kratos then is able to defeat Atropos, the serpent one, and go back to the present time while leaving her trapped in a mirror. So you've kind of, you didn't kill her. You kind of stranded her in the middle of nowhere, though. And now that you're fighting both Lachesis and Atropos at the same time, you manage to stab the two sisters with the blades and destroy the mirror they are trapped in. So they are both like completely imprisoned and you don't have to worry about them. That's two sisters down. And then like you saw on slide 10, that leaves the last sister to go fight. So this sister is portrayed as like a giant, nasty silkworm, basically. She operates and defends the Loom of Fate, which rules the lives of mortals and gods alike. So it's literally the threads of fate that she is spinning and making things happen how they're quote unquote supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
So in the fight, ultimately Kratos, you have to use like these giant chandeliers to like tie up her arms, pin her so she can stop doing things. And then you manage to impale her with a giant swinging pendulum, basically stab it into her head. And you kill it. So you've made it through all the sisters.
The ugly one?
You made it through the ugly one, especially. Kratos grants himself control over the Loom Room, the Sisters of Fate room.
Taking a picture.
Oh, up the solid.
Wait, wrong screen.
There you go. Classic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Kratos now has control of this room, so he can effectively kind of do what he wants as far as time traveling. So he takes grasp of his own destiny, basically.
That's big.
He has his powers back. He becomes God of War once again. And he goes back to his death at Zeus's hands in Rhodes. He saves his past self and reclaims the Blade of Olympus from a surprise Zeus, because, I mean, imagine you're just like, I'm going to kill this guy. And then a different one pops out and you're like, holy cow, what the heck's going on? Mm-hmm. Time travel.
Snap.
Yep. So this creates a long battle. You can see Zeus in slide 11. We kind of looked at him once, but he is a giant in the boss fight and he's kind of like looming over you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kind of so like an angry Santa Jesus.
Angry Santa Jesus. So that's pretty accurate. And then the last slide, 12, kind of shows you the final platform you're using to fight giant Zeus and try to win the battle. So the battle is pretty intense. It goes on for a little while. At the end of the fight, Zeus stuns Kratos with a powerful lightning storm because, you know, he's Zeus.
Mm-hmm.
Kratos then announces untruthfully that he is surrendering. He's basically like, okay, I'm done. You got me. I'm good. As Zeus is about to kill Kratos, Kratos deflects the blade. He's like, psych, I'm not ready to die. And pins Zeus's hands to the rock with his blade. So he stabs him through like Jesus style, if you will, and pins him. Kratos then takes the Blade of Olympus and begins to, you know, he's making the motion. He's like, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. Just like Zeus did it to him. So he wants to, you know, have the poetic justice of it. Same death.
I mean, pretty much everyone wants poetic justice.
Facts. But before Kratos can finish, Athena arrives and defends Zeus. But Kratos is angered by the interference as Athena announces her intentions to protect Olympus. She doesn't want Zeus to die. She wants Olympus to continue. Zeus is badly wounded, attempts to escape. While he says to Kratos, he's basically crawling away. He's like, you have started a war. You know, it's like, you don't know what you've done. The gods of Olympus will come down upon you. that you can't possibly win. Kratos breaks free of Athena, charging towards Zeus with the blade again, but Athena sacrifices herself by impaling herself on the blade, which lets Zeus escape. But now you've skewered Athena, who you're not going for. Kratos asks her why she did this, and the dying goddess reveals that Zeus's actions are meant to break the cycle of son killing father, which goes back to Kronos defeating Uranus and Zeus defeating Kronos. So they're already in this, you know, father will always kill, or the son will always kill the father cycle. And he wants to get out of that because he doesn't want to die. By killing Kratos before he can kill him, Zeus had hoped to break the cycle, and thus confirming that Kratos is in fact Zeus's son. Plot twist. Yep. So this means Kratos is a demigod.
Just like Hercules.
Mm-hmm. And right before Kratos became fully a god after slaughtering Ares, that he was a demigod during God of War 1, basically.
For some reason, I thought you just said World War 1, and I was like, wait, what? And then I, like, fully processed what you said, and I was like, oh, okay, never mind.
You know, back when Kratos fought in World War
I. Yeah, I was like, wow, we took a really big time jump there. And then I was like, wait, I don't think that's what was said.
Yeah. So she begs him to relent in his quest for vengeance. She's like, stop this. Nothing good will come of it.
Big Batman vibes, man.
As she dies. So after a moment of shock and what appears to be shame, Kratos darkens and says that he has no father. Athena dies in his arms, saying that all the gods of Olympus will deny Kratos defending Zeus, so Olympus will prevail. She said that even though Kratos wishes to kill Zeus, Zeus is Olympus. It's like, if you bring him down, you know, everyone's going to fight you. You can't just bring him down alone. Mm-hmm. Kratos vows to exact retribution on Zeus and any god.
Bring me down.
Exactly.
Song.
Yeah, I think so.
It's by the Beatles. I was like, I'm pretty sure it's on Across the Universe. So,
oh,
and like, what is it? Yeah, I just don't understand how you never saw that with our friend group in high school.
Narrowly avoided, I guess.
Guess so.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Kratos vows to exact vengeance on Zeus and any god who will deny him his vengeance, saying that their time is at an end. The time of the gods is at an end.
Yeah.
Dead Athena's body soon explodes, for some reason, as Gaia speaks to Kratos and reminds him that he has the power to control time. Kratos returns to the loom chamber where Ugly Sister is. And the room is collapsing because everything's basically, you know, he killed the sisters. It's kind of tearing itself apart. And he goes back in time once more to the great war of the gods and the Titans. He calls to Gaia and she announces that the Titans were expecting him. And then Kratos explains that they can win the great war this time. So he's gone back in time, grabbed all of the Titans. He's like, all the Titans, yeah, we're not imprisoned. We're not weakened by Zeus. And he's going to bring them forward into time. Zeus encourages his fellow gods to help him kill Kratos because he's like, this guy's nuts. He's going to come kill us all. Every single Titan to ever exist returns to Kratos's time because he brings them in their prime form. So they're all like, you know, at their strongest, technically.
Mm-hmm.
Angry and vengeful, they climb Mount Olympus to kill Zeus and the gods, leading them. Kratos announces to Zeus, and this is in quotes, Zeus, your son has returned. I bring the destruction of Olympus. Thus, leading directly into God of War 3. So that's actually where the game cuts, is you climbing the mountain to go fight the gods.
Mm-hmm.
So how about that?
I mean, it's just a lot of god stuff going on.
Well, that is kind of Greek mythology, you know?
I mean, yeah.
There is lots of gods. One interesting thing that I didn't mention, it didn't have a huge part in the plot, but when Kratos is first struck down by Zeus at the beginning, mm-hmm. after he gets out of the underworld, he runs into a Spartan, you know, one of his fellow men that he mm-hmm. rules over. Mm-hmm. And there, he's just like, I need you to do this. And then he's like, you know, I need the power to control time to fix my destiny. Mm-hmm. And then later on, as you're about to like fight the Kraken, you fight this mysterious warrior and you fight him in the dark. So you can't see who it is. And after you win the fight, you actually find out it's that same Spartan, which is kind of bittersweet because he was only there to try to get the power to help you. So you effectively kill one of your best generals because of confusion and loyalty. So mm-hmm. They had some cool details like that. And like I said, the time travel stuff and the things going on in the background and how everything ties mm-hmm. together. Very good.
I just got distracted because like Kronos is like the god of time and you kept like talking about time. And then when I was getting my master's degree in my rhetorical theory class, with Jody, we learned about Kairos, which is like timeliness, and Kairos is like related to Kronos, and everything's just like Kairos is like opportune moment, basically.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All none of that roots. Was really related to what you said, but
well,
but yeah, Kronos is the god of time, so
yeah, yeah.
Apparently, there's a horror drama movie called Kronos.
Have I heard of that? It sounds kind of familiar.
It says antique dealer Jesus Greece stumbles across Kronos, a 400-year-old scarab that, when it latches onto him, grants him youth and eternal life, but also a thirst for blood. As Jesus enjoys his newfound vitality, he's unaware that a dying old man, Dieter de la Guardia, has sent his nephew, Angel, or Angel, to find the scarab and bring it back to him. But Jesus will not give immortality up easily, even risking the life of his orphan granddaughter.
Oh, okay.
The budget was $2 million, and according to Wikipedia, the box office was $621,000.
Ouch.
That's maybe we should watch that sometime. It says it's on HBO Max.
Oh, there you go. Add it to one of the Fridays.
Yeah.
Fridays, one of the last weeks of the month.
Yeah. Fridays. Whatever.
Fridays.
We know
it. Yeah. Right. But anyway, I guess any questions about God of War 2?
I mean, I just was like appalled by this lady. She kind
sister.
Of reminds me, I feel like, of something from what's that game I haven't played in 2 months?
Which game?
You know, the one.
Oh, Elden Ring?
Yeah, well. She kind of reminds me of like something from that.
Yeah, I could see that. Here is the description that they give her. The youngest, quote, maiden sister of fate. So she's actually the youngest one. Although she bears no resemblance to her sisters, she is a morbidly obese silkworm-like creature with multiple arms and breasts that sit within the multi-level loom chamber. So if you can imagine, there's like multiple floors, and on each floor, there's just a different part of her body because she's like in a tube in the middle. So yeah, it's real
kind of weird. I don't like that.
Yeah, she spins the thread of every mortal god and titan. But yeah, not pleasant to look at for sure. I'd kind of a nasty man. Fight.
I'd say, man.
Yeah. But yeah, that's all I got. That's God of War 2. God of War cycle continues. I'm really looking forward to the new ones. Yeah.
I wonder. I mean, I feel like I would like those games. I literally don't know if I can ever play Overwatch 2 again.
I can't believe how sudden it was. And, you know, Keaton was like, after you got off, he was like, you think she was lying to us and like just didn't want to play? And I was like, no, I could hear it in her voice. And she was like, when she was like, I need to leave now, I was like, oh, she's feeling something. Like, I was like, I could tell in her voice that something was not good.
Because like the training was fine. And then probably like halfway through the match, like I was like hot, like
Yeah.
Like I felt like I was getting clammy and I literally was just like, I had to like stop moving. And I don't know if it was like all of the lights and colors and then also the kill cam, because anytime the kill cam came up, that like really like did, and I died a lot because I never, like it was my first match. I had no idea what I was doing. And
the rough thing is you can't, it's not like Call of Duty. You can't like skip kill cams either. You have to watch them.
Yeah, it was bad. And like, I mean, I literally threw up like 5 times. Like I took a bath. Crazy. My eyes were just like completely like red. I was like sitting on the bathroom floor and like, it was not good like at all. And
I wonder if they have any like motion sick settings in there. If it's like a common thing.
I don't know. It was bad. It was like a suggested search though when I started typing, because I was like, I wonder if other people like feel this way when they play this game. And then one of my students was like, Miss, why are you looking at me weird? And I was like, honestly, my eyes hurt from being motion sick yesterday while I was playing a video game. And it didn't go away until I walked my dog after work. Like I felt okay when I woke up, but as soon as I got to work and got on my computer, it was just like, it like instantly like came back. And I also probably felt weird because like I puked up all the food I ate for dinner. So like I didn't really have any like even eating breakfast was hard when I woke up. Like it was like, that's
pretty crazy.
I did not feel okay.
At all. No joke.
It's bad.
Yikes. So yeah, maybe Overwatch is not in Kendra's future, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, my students gave me some like, you know, decent suggestions. So, you know, maybe I'll mess with the colorblind setting and I guess maybe turn the sensitivity down. I don't think it was a sensitivity though. I think it was like all of the stuff on the screen. Cause I've gotten a little bit motion sick before, like watching people play video games, but probably not in like 8 years. Like, I don't think that's happened like at all recently, maybe a little bit, but it also sometimes just depends like on how I'm feeling that day. Like I have a higher tendency to get motion sick on like, I don't know.
Yeah.
My hydration level or something, but like,
how your body feels.
I did. That was not like, it was like 0 to 100. Like,
yeah.
So fast. Like I almost like got up in the middle of the match, but then I was like, well, and then I couldn't figure out how to like leave the party or whatever, like leave the group. I was like, how do I exit? I need to exit. Like,
that's when I knew you were like kind of frantic. I was like,
Yeah, it was not good. I've never gotten sick from while playing before. Like that was wild. I think maybe a couple times when I was like drinking and playing Rainbow Road, but that makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah,
like than just playing like this game. But
you drink and play Overwatch. Think about that.
Oh boy! But then I was like, I wonder if I could play other things, because I feel like a lot of the games have like lots of stuff. Like I almost feel like Borderlands kind of has like a lot of stuff going on too. And then I'm like, well, I probably couldn't even like play that game. I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah, that Borderlands has a lot on the screen.
Yeah, there was like a like, and the colors are so bright, and I don't know. Also, before you got on, I obviously the game is much different, but the graphic images that show up when you hover over it really reminded me of like the art style of where did my brain go? What's that? Fortnite. Like just like the art style.
Yeah.
Not the game itself, but when I told Keaton that, he acted like I was crazy. And I was like, no, I don't mean the game or the character types. I literally just mean like the art style.
Like the interface style?
No, just like the literal wallpaper that pops up when you hover over the game. Like it just reminded me of like the Fortnite one with like the style of the art on the poster, not like the style of the art in the game. But I guess maybe he also just didn't understand what I meant. So
yeah, it's possible.
But yeah, that was really rough.
It was fun. Woo.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely not very good at that game.
Yeah. I don't know. That also, just a side note before we stop, that trailer thing or whatever for Modern Warfare 2 was like so weird.
What was it? Squad up.
Yeah, I was like, Jesus Christ. Like, what did I spend $100 on?
Well, hopefully better than Vanguard.
I know. I mean, I have been going to bed early because I've been tired, but I haven't even like cared. Like, I'm just so over Vanguard.
I've kind of accepted that. I think I'm only on like tier like 65 or something. I was like, I just don't have any motivation to finish.
Yeah,
especially, I mean, when like, nothing will come, you know.
That's why I didn't even like buy the last battle pass, because I don't think I've finished like the last two.
Yeah.
And I was only at like 45 or something when this one ended. So
yeah, I think everyone's kind of over Vanguard now.
Yeah, I need to get a new mic arm, because every time I move this, it falls off.
Get an upgrade.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess that's all I got for the episode, I suppose. I don't know if you got anything else.
No, I just decided to switch all my dice back to Etsy, because I had coupons when I created my website last year, so I only paid like $175. Oh. Mm-hmm. But there's no way to use coupons unless you... like upgrade, and I'm already in like a mid. I was already in a mid tier one, and I didn't need to upgrade. And the next upgrade is like twice as expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I already like my domain purchase already renewed, which is only like $20, and I can actually transfer my domain from Wix to GoDaddy, which is just like a domain hosting site, and I can redirect it to my Etsy shop. So that'll be nice, because then I don't have to reprint all of my business cards, because this QR code will still take you to the right path, because I still have like quite a bit left, and like I didn't want to have to order new ones, because I haven't been making dice very much, and like my last shop update, I still have so many sets in stock for. But then as soon as I like put it in back on Etsy, like I started getting a bunch of like items favorited, because a lot of people, because like most people were like, oh yeah, we'd rather buy dice on a website, but then your visibility isn't as much, because people aren't just like browsing
right
as much. So maybe my like
they can't really stumble a little bit better again.
Yeah. So I don't know. Cause I still have like 9 sets or something that were just like my literal last shop update was so weird. Cause I was getting like no visibility on any of my Instagram posts.
Yeah.
And then like no one bought anything until I put it on sale. It was like so weird. And I was like, well, I haven't been making dice because I don't have time. And like, it's not going to be worth it. Like paying the Etsy fees is going to be more worth it than, God dang it. Am I still talking?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because okay. My screen cut out again. Jesus Christ. But I was basically like, well, paying the Etsy fee is going to be better than paying the $425 for the website. So
yeah, for sure.
But I'm trying out Etsy Plus so that I have a little bit more like access to things, like for you can like customize it a little bit more, and it's only $10 a month, so I thought I would try that.
Nice.
But anyway, so you can check out my dice. You can't, well, actually no, this comes out on Sunday. It might be through by then, brokenbowdiceshop.com. Otherwise, you can just search my shop name on Etsy.
There you go.
And get yourself some clickety-clacks.
Clickety-clacks, so you can play your games, man.
Hell yeah. Also, I was listening to a podcast about the effects of alcohol on our body. And I actually started it like 2 or 3 weeks ago and then forgot to finish it because I was listening to it in the Apple podcast instead of Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the CrossFit people I follow shared it. And like, I don't really drink that much anyway. So this made me feel good about that choice. but it's Huberman Lab. And he's like a scientist, and he has like a scientist-y podcast. But it says what alcohol does to your body, brain, and health. And the episode was just talking about like the various effects based on how regularly you drink, how much you drink, and what you're like. Like if you're genetically predisposed to alcoholism, which I am, since my grandpa was like a massive alcoholic.
Yeah.
So it was interesting. And then I still got 10 minutes left, because it's like 2 hours long. But then he was talking about like the research behind like different hangover cures and how alcohol consumption increases the risk of cancer, but the percentage varies. And then like the concentration between, I forget what the wordage was, but like based on a serving of alcohol, like how many grams of alcohol is in the serving or whatever, because it's like the lowest in like Japan and stuff, because like that makes sense, because when you drink sake, you drink like,
yeah, not know, much,
like a little bit. But then the concentration in like Russia was like twice as much as the concentration in America.
Yeah.
And then apparently the alcohol that gives you the worst hangovers is brandy. But it doesn't have anything to do with the sugar content, because some other type of alcohol he mentioned that was like the least likely to give you a hangover also has a high sugar intake.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was really interesting.
There you go.
And beer is on the lower side, and so is whiskey. Those are least likely to give you a hangover. Obviously, that there's like sense. A variety of factors involved in that, but.
Yeah. I mean, you think of most, I guess, old alcoholics, they're probably just drinking a lot of beer. Mm-hmm. Is generally what they do. So yeah, I guess it makes sense.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I was like, oh, I'm pretty glad that I had like a kind of big drinking phase during college, and that's it. Because like maybe I'll have like drinks like twice a month, like maybe, but like I don't really drink that much, because I mean most of the time I'm just here by myself, so I don't really see the point, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean Huberman Lab, if you want to learn about the effects of alcohol on your body.
Huberman Lab. It's
got this guy's face on it.
Look at that guy.
Yeah.
Nice.
But anyways, you can also check our stuff out, obviously, if you're listening to us now, wherever you get your podcasts, and download those episodes, like and subscribe, comment, leave us a rating and a review, send us an email to 5fibemoreminutespod@gmail.com. Share us with your friends and family, friends who are your family, family who's more like friends and family. Follow us at 5MMPOD. Some weeks I post more than others, and that's okay. And randomly, I think the week we did the shoe episode, I only posted like 2 reels, because I tried that different like thing and our faces were really big and it looked bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But one of them just randomly keeps like having peak, like it keeps like recirculating. Like they'll just be like 50 notifications all of a sudden, and it's like that video, not the ones I just posted, which is really frustrating. But
that's weird. Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. But yeah, so that's it.
I guess we're clocking out till next time. You already said all the stuff.
I think so. I might have missed some of them, but I said most of it, so that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, make good choices.
Or don't. I mean, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Bye.
See you.